the third one is the one that I'm most impressed with, and I hope that you go back and read it several times to see the development there of a change in attitude from lamentation and despair to hope and trust. I think that's the point of it. But to me, the real point in this state is I see that it's an awful consequence of sin. The destruction of the people and the suffering that always comes. Right, so that suffering will come to this nation someday, unless its final day comes before. It will come. And then there's going to be the eternal consequence after a while. And I think that's what God's trying to show. At least that's what I'll learn. Now, now the fifth chapter. Now here is the prophet prays for mercy. Whoever the poet prays for mercy here. Right, in this one. I think we read it before last time, didn't we? Remember us, O Jehovah, what has come upon us. Behold and see our reproach. Well, of course, remember, God didn't forget. It's just one of those ways of saying the thing. That calling it to his mind, to remember, to see, to be conscious of it. Behold and see our reproach. Our inheritance is turned unto strangers. Our house is under aliens. Right? So it begins here with the inheritance itself, the home, the land, the houses, turned to aliens. We are orphans and fathers. Our mothers are as widows. That is, she may have been killed. We're as orphans and fathers. Mothers are as widows. Great slaughter. We have drunken our water for money. Our wood is sold unto us. That is, we're highly taxed. We're made to pay for our own drinking water. We're made to pay for our wood. We're taxed for it. That means ours. Made to pay for it. Taken away from it. Our pursuers are upon our neck. That is, they're constantly being pushed and breathing down our necks, as we would say. Forcing us into more work, more work, more work. They're constantly upon our necks, firing us down. We're weary and have no rest. Right? So here they are, as it were, they were slaves to another people. Well, God said that's what's going to happen to you. You know, you're right. We have given our hand to the Egyptian and to the Assyrian to be satisfied with bread. That is, they have sold themselves. They have made alliances with Egypt. They have made alliances with Assyria. Simply that they might fought for their own profit and benefit at the time. Now, what again? And I think our nation has done that today in the last 25 or 50 years. It's made alliances and done all this thing. But I think there's all sometime maybe military have moved in the way that they've done. But anyhow, we've sold ourselves for bread. Our fathers sinned and are not. What does that mean? They're not. And we have mourned their iniquity. That is the consequence of it. I want to look back at Jeremiah 31, have a similar start statement in the speaking. We'll go look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and that verse, verse 20, somewhere along there. 20, 21. No, it's 30. 29 and 30. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Now, and that seems to have been an idea among them, because Ezekiel taught the same thing. Ezekiel had, when Ezekiel 18, I'm pretty sure it's 18, I haven't looked at it in a long time. But when Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel, remember, was over in Babylon, while Jeremiah was over in Jerusalem. Right? Now look at chapter, verse about 19 to 20, there. Yet say, wherefore doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son had hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and hath done them, he shall surely live, says God. Right? And verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither shall the son bear the iniquity of the father. But the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. I think so. That's the same idea that a little farther there, somewhere in that, he made the similar statement about the grapes, but I forgot. Read that back. Verse 18. The noble shall say that the children eat the sour grapes, the father, and the children keep the set on it. The idea about 18 chapters of Ezekiel is that it's going to be every individual bearing his own iniquities. Now, remember this. And then we suffer the consequences of our father's sin. We do not suffer the guilt. And so, when it says over here, and we have borne their iniquities, that is, we've borne the consequence of it. For God said, every man shall die, but it's only punishment I do not bear. For my father said, the consequence I bear. And so it is today. Now move from them to the servant, I mean to their rule, over the rule over. Servants rule over us. There is none to deliver us out of their hand. That is, these servants that have been elevated up to the place of overseers, they were bullying, harsh, cruel individuals. You take a slave, a servant, and give him a place down that he's not capable of control, handling. He's going to be a real bad, real bad master. We get our bread at the peril of our lives because of the sword of the world. Maybe those here, when we go out to gather, here's somebody out there to take our life, to rob us, to hold us up from the wilderness there. So we make our bread and get it at the peril of our life. Our skin is black like an oven because of the burning heat of famine. Because here the poor are emaciated, nothing to eat, and dark as a result of it.
Good night.
Yes, ma'am?
This seems to remind me of when they were slaves in Egypt, when they were enslaved, the Egyptians.
Yeah, but the Egyptians weren't nearly as bad to them. Well, they were bad too, but later on they were, mighty first. But when you go...
I mean the latter part.
Yeah,
of the time
it would be something. But this is the people that have conquered them. And now when people conquer another, they didn't have any feeling for them. That's what he described. He described the people as conquered by the Babylonians. But you're right, it's true of that. But he's talking about the way they were treated. Now notice here, they ravaged the women in Zion, the virgins in the cities of Judah. It was a sad, shameful treatment. They saw those hard, cruel soldiers inflicting upon their sisters, their mothers, their daughters, the case may be. That's very hard. Princes were hanged up by their hands. The faces of elders were not honored. If lifted up their hands, that they died. Hard of them. Elders were no regard for an older person. The young men bear the mill. That is, the slaves carrying the millstone. And the children stumbled under the wood as they carried the wood for fire or for war, whatever it may be, to their master. Hard picture, terrible picture of what had happened. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. No more do the elders sit in the gate to decide the questions of the people. No more do the young men have time for music and to enjoy. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. This is all his prayer to God. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us, for we have sinned. Now, not a literal crown, but the crown of glory. They have worn as God's people, and as a great people, have fallen from the head. They were now captive. For this our heart is thankful. For these things our eyes have been. for the Mount of Zion, which is desolate. The foxes walked upon it. And that probably was one of the most grievous blows of all. And that beautiful temple was in ruins. And here the foxes are running over the wall, where once they worshiped God, honored Him. And I suspected one of that, and it sat very difficult for them. The Jew without his place of worship in Jerusalem, that just left him without anything. Thou, O Jehovah, now he concludes his prayer, Thou, O Jehovah, abidest forever, or sittest as king forever, it means throne, Thou throned forever. Thy throne is from generation to generation. Wherefore? Now that's true. If God abides forever, if his throne is absolute, wherefore dost thou forget us forever? It doesn't just seem like it, did it? That's what it was with Jonah in the belly, way. He said he was there forever. Forever seemed that way. And that those 3 days seemed that way. I'm sure those 50 years in Babylonian captivity meant forever. It was 20 years they were under the Babylonian before they went to carry the work. Right in Babylon, only 50 years. So those 50 years seem like forever. And forsake us so long time. So your forever there is equivalent for that to that long time. Turn thou us unto thee, O Jehovah, and we shall be turned. Bring about those influences. Bring us to thee. Renew our days as of old. Thou hast utterly rejected us. Thou art very wrong against us. Not a very cheerful picture, none of it. Sin never leaves a cheerful picture. But remember, there's nothing cheerful about sin or the consequences of sin or the spirit of the people that must bear the shame of it. Paul raised that question over in Romans the 6th chapter, that I told the close that. When you raise the question, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We're on discussion. Then he made this thing, what fruit have you in those things wherein you are now ashamed? You stop thinking about it. Sometimes your fellow say, well, if I didn't think that a year after I could go out and sow wild oats, I'd live it up. I would. I'd rather be a Christian. I'd rather face life. What fruit did I have in those things? Not my shame. What good came out of it? I think of the world. I think of the joy, the peace that comes from being a Christian. I get to the end of the way, I find there's not a thing in the world to me. And no hereafter. No God, no heaven, no hell. I'm still glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I believe what I have a life. And then so much of what fruit do you have in those things? And this, I think, is what God's trying to say in this little book of Lamentations. Here's terribleness of sin, terrible consequence of punishment of sin, and the terrible suffering, anguish, and gnashing of teeth that come to those who are part of it. They have a question of what we say. They might have a question that you want to say about it. Now, I'm not going to start anything else tonight. I'm going to leave it there. A little extra time, but that's all right. We'll make it up some time. I'll be open to have an extra time. Now, you still want to study Ezekiel, don't you? All right. I've seen some yeses, so next Monday night, for Lord willing, we're going to begin our study on Ezekiel. I think you'll find it a most unique book. Ezekiel is different from any other prophets. I think if you and I had been there, and the people like that, they walk on and look at him, man, he's not bold. Not the way they describe him. You are. But he got a lesson over. Time of the chapter B. Different fellows from different needs. I notice that all of them. Not any two of the prophets are alike, any more than any two priests are alike. The prophets are all different. Isaac, the dignified statesman. All I just see Isaac to me, he walks tall in feet. Jeremiah, a very humble man. I guess Isaiah walks too, he was proud. But in the Isaiah of Jeremiah, is a man that deeply touched. Ezekiel is a fellow that does these strange things to impress the lesson. Amon, heard one from the core that went up there in a really clean house. Hosea, the man of loving kindness. God is loving kindness. Tender, touched by the needs and sins of the people. And on you could go. They're all different. They're all personalities. This is what I think you ought to try to learn as a state. All right, nothing more? Let me send you with this.
I'm sorry.
Appreciate it so much. Oh, it's your excuse to make it under my eyes.